Tikopia, a tiny, isolated tropical island in the southwest Pacific Ocean, is another success story of bottom-up management. With a total area of just 1.8 square miles, it supports 1,200 people. That's a dense population for a traditional society without modern agricultural techniques. Nevertheless, the island has been occupied continuously for almost 3,000 years. The nearest land of any sort is the even tinier island of Anuta, 85 miles distant, inhabited by only 170 people. The nearest larger islands, in the Vanuatu and Solomon archipelagos, are 140 miles distant, and still only 100 square miles each in area. In Tikopia's traditional small canoes, the open ocean voyage over the cyclone-prone southwest Pacific to any of those nearest neighbor islands was dangerous. The canoes' small sizes and the infrequency of the voyages severely limited the quantity of goods that could be imported, so that in practice, the only economically significant imports were stone for making tools, and unmarried young people from Anuta as marriage partners. Other imports consisted of luxury goods, shells for ornaments, bows and arrows, and pottery. There could be no question of importing staple foods in amounts sufficient to contribute meaningfully to Tikopian subsistence. In particular, Tikopians had to produce and store enough surplus food to be able to avoid starvation during the annual dry season of May and June, and after cyclones that at unpredictable intervals destroy gardens. Tikopia lies in the Pacific's main cyclone belt, with, on the average, 20 cyclones per decade. Hence, surviving on Tikopia required solving two problems for 3,000 years. How could a food supply sufficient for 1,200 people be produced reliably? And how could the population be prevented from increasing to a level that would be impossible to sustain? Our main source of information about the traditional Tikopian lifestyle comes from Raymond Firth's observations, one of the classic studies of anthropology. While Tikopia had been discovered by Europeans in 1606, its isolation ensured that European influence remained negligible until the 1800s. The first visit by missionaries did not take place until 1857, and the first conversions of islanders to Christianity did not begin until after 1900. Hence, Firth, in 1928, had a better opportunity to observe a culture that still contained many of its traditional elements. Sustainability of food production is promoted by its high rainfall, moderate latitude, and location in the zone of high volcanic ash fallout and high fallout of Asian dust. Those factors constitute a geographical stroke of good luck for the Tikopians. The remainder of their good fortune must be credited to what they have done for themselves. Virtually the whole island is micromanaged for continuous and sustainable food production. Almost every plant species on Tikopia is used by people in one way or another. Even grass is used as a mulch in gardens, and wild trees are used as food sources in times of famine. As you approach Tikopia from the sea, the island appears to be covered with tall, multi-storied original rainforest. Only when you land and go among the trees do you realize that true rainforest is confined to a few patches on the steepest cliffs, and that the rest of the island is devoted to food production. Most of the island's area is covered with a multi-storied orchard, whose tallest trees are species producing edible nuts, or fruit, or other useful products, of which the most important are coconuts, breadfruit, and sago palms yielding a starchy pith. Smaller useful trees in the middle story include the betel nut palm with narcotic-containing nuts, the vi apple, and the medium-sized memi tree, whose bark was used for cloth. The understory below these tree layers is, in effect, a garden for growing yams, bananas, and the giant swamp taro, of which Tikopians grow a genetic clone adapted to dry conditions. This whole multi-story orchard is unique in the Pacific in its structural mimicry of a rainforest, except that its plants are all edible. In addition to these extensive orchards, there are two other types of small areas that are open and treeless, but also used for food production. One is a small freshwater swamp, devoted to growing the usual moisture-adapted form of giant swamp taro. The other consists of fields devoted to short, fallow, labor-intensive, nearly continuous production of three root crops, taro, yams, and now the South American-introduced crop, manioc, that has largely replaced native yams. These fields require almost constant labor input for weeding, plus mulching with grass and brushwood to prevent crop plants from drying out. The main food products of these orchards, swamps, and fields are starchy plant foods. For their protein, traditional Tikopeans relied to a minor extent on ducks and fish obtained from the island's one brackish lake, and, to a major extent, on fish and shellfish from the sea. Sustainable exploitation of seafood resulted from taboos administered by chiefs, whose permission was required to catch or eat fish. The taboos, therefore, had the effect of preventing overfishing. Tikopeans still had to fall back on two types of emergency food supply to get them over the annual dry season and the occasional cyclone. One type consisted of fermenting surplus breadfruit in pits to produce a starchy paste that can be stored for 2 or 3 years. The other type consisted of exploiting the small remaining stands of original rainforest to harvest fruits, nuts, and other edible plant parts that were not preferred foods but could save people from otherwise starving. Those are the ways in which Tikopeans assure themselves of a sustainable food supply. The other prerequisite for sustainable occupation of Tikopia is a stable, non-increasing population. During Firth's visit, he counted the island's population to be 1,278 people. From 1929 to 1952, the population increased at 1.4% per year, which is a modest rate of increase. Suppose, however, that Tikopia's initial population growth rate was also only 1.4% per year, and that the initial settlement 3,000 years ago had been by a canoe holding 25 people. It would have reached its modern level of 1,278 people within 283 years after human arrival. How was Tikopia's population held constant after 283 years? Firth learned of 6 methods of population regulation still operating on the island in 1929, and a 7th that had operated in the past.